Welcome to the Burden and Blessing Podcast, a study and discussion forum on the truth of God's Word. Our review series examines books, movies, music, and other media in the light of God's truth. We pray that it will be eye-opening, instructional, and beneficial for your daily walk with Christ. Welcome back to this Thanksgiving edition of Burden and Blessing. We are taking up a hymn study today that focuses on the many blessings that the Lord has given to us. We're going to be focusing on a hymn from our worship supplement. It's been around for many, many years and been in many Lutheran hymnals, one that is sung by many congregations either on Thanksgiving or in the Sundays that follow. And it has an English and even a little bit of an Irish background. We're going to be taking a look at hymn 793 in the worship supplement, Sing to the Lord of Harvest. Joining me to go through this beautiful Thanksgiving reminder is Pastor Rob Sowers. How are you today, Rob?
Doing well. How are you?
Very good. We have much to give the Lord thanks for. And in this hymn, we're going to be focusing in particular, as we do many times for Thanksgiving, on many of the blessings that the Lord gives to us related to our body and life, as Luther might say it, or those first article blessings. Before we get into the hymn itself, let's talk just a little bit about the fellow that wrote this hymn, John Monsell. What do we learn about him and his background? When did he write it?
So Monsell, he wrote this hymn in 1866. He lived between 1811 and 1875, an Irishman, as you mentioned already. And so this hymn is not, we don't have a translation of this hymn. We've got it written in English for us. But so he was an Anglican clergyman. He was educated at kind of the famous Trinity College in Dublin, and then he was ordained as a priest in 1835. I mentioned he wrote this hymn in 1866, and you know it's not actually the only harvest hymn that he has written either. Certainly in his hymn writing, he, you know, recognizes some of those first article blessings that you mentioned, very, very thankful for those. Maybe some other hymns that we would be a little more familiar with, Fight the Good Fight with All Thy Might, or The Distant Mountains Breaking is another one of his. He's a hymn writer that we have in the Lutheran hymnal. Of course, this hymn is in our worship supplement as well. Yeah, long list of hymns, as many clergymen from all sorts of denominations and backgrounds had at that time. It seemed like being a clergyman and being involved with music were things that, you know, really went hand in hand at that time.
One thing to bring out, too, with this particular hymn in the worship supplement and with a lot of the other Lutheran versions of this hymn, if you have your worship supplement at home or you're following along with the hymnal, you might notice down at the bottom where the author is mentioned that this is an altered text. So this is not exactly, like you mentioned, it's not a translation,
right?
But it is altered from the original. The original had four verses as opposed to three, and there are going to be some slight changes to Monsell's original version that we do not have in this particular setting for the hymn.
Right. But, you know, what we do have brought out in the three stanzas that we have, as we'll see going in, you know, again, we've got those sort of first article ideas of what the Lord gives to us in those first two stanzas, and then very much our response then in the third stanza. So it's a nice balance, I think, between that gospel motivating then our sanctification, which is what Thanksgiving is a lot about anyway.
So. Yeah, at least it should be, right?
Right, yeah. Oh, yeah, certainly right. Should be. Yeah.
Well, let's dig into the first verse. As you mentioned, the first two verses are going to bring out some of those first article blessings. So when we talk about first article blessings, we're talking about the blessings that God has given to us for our body and life, the things that have to do with every day. We get into second article blessings. Then we talk about redemption and Christ's work for us, or third article blessings that should deal with faith. But these are really going to deal with the fact that God sends his rain, that he gives us the things that we need in order for our life to continue here on this earth. And we're going to see that being brought out in this opening verse. So we read through verse 1 of Monsell's hymn. Sing to the Lord of harvest, sing songs of love and praise. With joyful hearts and voices your alleluias raise. By him the rolling seasons in fruitful order move. Sing to the Lord of harvest a joyous song of love. Take us into that verse, Rob.
Okay, so I'm going to approach this a little bit backwards. I'm going to take the second half of this first. And then that's going to inform why we start the first half of it with our singing those songs of love and praise to him. So in the second part, by him, the rolling seasons in fruitful order move. And so you think of immediately, this is why, you know, I mentioned the first article of the Apostles' Creed. You think immediately of God as the creator, right? I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker or creator of heaven and earth. And you've got that idea that, of course, everything that we have, everything that has been provided for us is just that. It's been provided for us by the Lord. Everything also continues to move in that fruitful order. And if you really think about it, what a blessing that is, right? Because remember what happens. God creates this world absolutely perfect. There's no sin. There's nothing wrong with it at all in any way. He creates Adam and Eve perfectly in his image, perfect fellowship with God. Everything's wonderful, great, and etc. We all know, of course, what happens then, right? There's the fall into sin. And then everything goes bad from there. Now there's that promise of the Savior, which is really getting to the reason why even after sin, everything continues to move in that fruitful order. But one of the things that always is so amazing to me, since we're talking about creation and we're talking about the beginning of Genesis, is when you think about, you know, the flood, right? Why does the flood come? Because man has become so corrupt. You go to Genesis 6, verse 5. The Lord saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, that every intention and thought of his heart was only evil continually, right? So that's before the flood, and so he destroys everybody but Noah and his family. Again, because of that promise of the Savior that he made, that's the only reason he does it. And then we come back around in Genesis chapter 8, verse 22. So the flood is over, and hey, you know, all the evil was wiped out. Everything's great, right? Now everything's better. Well, here's Genesis 8, 21. I will never again, God says, curse the ground because of man, for the intention of man's heart is evil from his youth. The condition is still the same. There's still that sinful condition. There's still that curse on all of the earth, and yet, God still provides for us. And it's all just out of his grace and mercy. It's out of nothing else. It's not that we've become better because the world was cleansed by the flood. And yet that promise of God, while earth remains, seed time, harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night, shall not cease. The Lord will continue to provide for us. And so what a wonderful blessing that is when we see in this stanza, the rolling seasons in fruitful order move. And then that's what informs us at the very beginning of this stanza then, to sing to the Lord of harvest, sing those songs of love and praise. With joyful hearts and voices, your alleluias raise. When we consider the fact that we should all have been just wiped out, and yet we weren't, and the Lord continues to extend this time of grace for us, of course, as believers, to do the work of the Lord, to give thanks to him, to be part of his great commission in bringing others to faith. We can rejoice also in the fact for unbelievers that God is patient, that he keeps everything in order, he sustains everything, so that their time of grace would be extended, so that they might have the opportunity to believe. How can we do anything when we consider that but sing praises to our Lord? But again, we take for granted so often the fact that the seasons just go as they go and whatever else. And so we kind of slow down and think about, hey, there's no reason why everything should keep going like it is. But thanks be to God that it does.
Well, I appreciate, Rob, that you bring out this idea that the first article blessings are intended by God to lead us to the second article blessings. because, you know, that's the whole reason that he gives us our body and life, is so that we might come to know the Redeemer from sin, so that we can be with him in heaven. And while Mansell doesn't bring that out in this particular hymn, he understands that that's the ultimate goal as well. It's just that this hymn doesn't emphasize that particular thing. And Thanksgiving, we do focus on those things that we obviously overlook so often in our lives. And he directs our attention back to those things. Well, let's take a look at verse 2. Verse 2 is going to take us a little bit more into these first article blessings. In verse 2, he gets a little bit more specific. God makes the clouds rain goodness, the deserts bloom in spring. The hills leap up in gladness, the valleys laugh and sing. God fills them with his fullness, all things with large increase. He crowns the year with blessing, with plenty and with peace. That's a beautiful hymn verse.
Oh, it sure is. And it, the beginning of it immediately reminds me of actually one of my favorite pictures in the Old Testament, of Isaiah chapter 35. So Isaiah 35 begins with, "The wilderness, the dry land shall be glad, the desert shall rejoice and bloom like the crocus." And, you know, you can see that similar idea here. Even something like the desert is able to bloom because of the Lord's provision for the things of this world. And, you know, you think that that passage goes on and it talks about some of the healing that comes from the hands of the Lord. It obviously, it's messianic in a lot of ways. It points to the Messiah who is going to come. And, you know, what is the Messiah going to do? So in the first stanza, we talked about, you know, things still rolling in order, even though there's this curse over creation and things like that. In the second stanza, then, we sort of think about, you know, even the deserts eventually bloom in spring. And, you know, obviously a desert is a barren wasteland and whatever else. But when we look to Christ's coming, when we look to the fulfillment of that promise that was made back in the Garden of Eden, we see sort of that reverse of the curse in a way. And so the Lord's provision for us now is the fact that he provides for us, even though, you know, this world is under sin and cursed and whatever, is in a way a foretaste of that final restoration of everything. When Jesus returns, you know, we're looking forward to that very soon as we enter Advent here. When the Lord returns and he's going to make all things new for us, and, you know, that curse will be reversed. So this gives us just a little glimpse of, you know, it's a little bit of a foretaste. And what a wonderful reminder that even though, again, we do have to deal with that sinful nature, and we have to deal with the sin around us in this world, we have not been abandoned by our God in the least. He's still with us. He's still there, still providing for us. And so, you know, if they would, even the hills would leap with gladness. Even the valleys would laugh and sing. And if they will leap with gladness and the valleys laugh and sing, how much more us, who have been created in God's image, who for whom God sent his son to be born, you know, obviously not to come as a hill or a valley to redeem those inanimate objects in a way, but to come as a man to redeem men like us. What a wonderful blessing. And so then, you know, this goes to what you said before too, then. The rest of the stanza talks about, you know, filling all things in this world with his fullness, giving that large increase. It's that reminder that, you know, when we see that good harvest, that good, you know, the abundance of the earth, that these are all blessings that come from God. He is the source of all of it. Easy to forget. We think it's by our own efforts and wills, but it's God that really provides that all. But he is the one that provides that, and it's for our spiritual good. He sustains our physical lives for our spiritual good. And that's what we get to in that last verse then. or in that last part of the stanza. He crowns the year with blessing, with plenty, and with peace. And kind of want to think of that word peace, because we don't see a lot of peace maybe around us right now, especially this year. I mean, I'm not going to list everything that we've gone through. You all know what we've gone through this year. And yet, we're still crowned with plenty and peace. And what is that peace ultimately? It's knowing that this Lord who provides these physical blessings for us has also provided those greater spiritual blessings by sending Jesus to live and die and rise again for us so that we would have eternal life. And so as we look at, again, all of the things in creation around us, those physical blessings remind us of the even greater spiritual blessings. They remind us of that peace that we have with God.
You know, one of the things that comes to mind for me, Rob, as I read through this stanza is the words of Jesus, who tells us that these blessings don't just come to believers, but to all people. He Right. sends his rain on the just and on the unjust. And then, as you pointed out, not only people, but even the creation itself, while it is under the curse, also receives the blessing from God, showing that the hills leap up in gladness, the valleys laugh and sing as a result of God pouring out his rain, sending his blessings upon his creation. In spite of its fallen into sin, God is still there providing his blessing daily. And as we learn in the Catechism, not just creating the world, but preserving the world daily through his blessings. If it weren't for God preserving the world, we would be in trouble. And it brings that aspect out too. So let's get into verse 3 then. In verse 3, as you pointed out earlier, we get to the Christian's response to these first article blessings of God, and how then we give God thanks for the blessings that he has given to us. We go into verse 3. Bring to this sacred altar the gifts his goodness gave, the golden sheaves of harvest, the souls Christ died to save. Your hearts lay down before him when at his feet you fall, and with your lives adore him who gave his life for all.
So this is our response in faith to all of the goodness that God has given us. And you know, in that second line of the stanza, the great gifts his goodness gave, that's what we give to him. So obviously it's nothing of ourselves that we bring, right? It's nothing that's our own that we bring. We simply give him back what he has given to us. So what are the golden sheaves of harvest, the souls Christ died to save? Kind of reminds me of Luke 10 verse 2, where, you know, Jesus is sending out the 70, right, to go out two by two to take the gospel out. And what does he say? Jesus says to them, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. So he uses that harvest imagery when he's talking about going out, and what Jesus is later, right before his ascension, is going to give us is his great commission, of course. One of the greatest ways, probably the greatest way, that we can give thanks to God for his goodness and give back to him what he has given to us is by taking our part in that great commission. Obviously, there are lots of ways that we could do that. You know, the Lord has led us to pursue doing that in the public ministry. And we certainly pray, you know, that the Lord would continue to lead people to consider the public ministry, whether it be as pastors or teachers. But obviously, too, that harvest goes much wider. And as we both know, too, you know, we come into contact with, you know, mostly our members on a regular basis. And, you know, but there are places that we just don't get to. And it's this great commission, this great harvest of those souls Christ died to save, which is everybody in the world. It takes that joint effort of everyone. And so lay people are extremely, extremely important in this endeavor. And, you know, really in some ways, they have better access and maybe better opportunities than we get to be part of this. So I really like how he brings that out here. Jesus could have said a lot of things right before he ascended, right? But what does he say? What does he give us to do? It's that great commission. And so when we think about how do we give back to God for all of his blessings? Well, we give back with our talents. We give back with our time. We give back with our treasures. But we give back by taking that gospel to those souls that Christ has died to save who don't know that he has done them. That's really the first half of the stanza. And then sort of that general then praise with all of our lives. So maybe this gets more into the time, treasure, and talents idea. Your hearts lay down before him. When at his feet you fall. So that's part of our attitude of worship, not just on that one day a week, of course, but our attitude of worship as we daily bow before the Lord's feet, because we recognize with great thankfulness how he has provided for us and continues to provide for us. And so with our lives, with everything we do, as we go along in life, we adore him and we remember how he gave his life for us all. That's the motivation behind all of this, is what he gets to in that last stanza then, who gave his life for us all. If he was willing to do that, to give up everything, how could we not be willing to give everything to him, to give up, you know, everything for our neighbor, especially our neighbor who doesn't yet know that Christ has died to save him. So that's really the response of faith. It's time, treasure, talents, and it's that great commission also.
That last line finally brings us to the second article blessing, doesn't it?
It sure does, yeah.
When we think of the one who gave his life for all, we are now moving to the second article and the fact that Jesus is the one, as you implied there, the Romans passage. If God has given his own son for us, what won't he do for us? So if we study that second article blessings and we see what God has done for us in the person of his son, Jesus Christ, dying for our sins, of course he's going to give us the first article blessings. Of course he's going to do that. Now he's given the greatest sacrifice of all. One of the things that comes to my mind, Rob, as I read through this last stanza is, once again, the doctrine of vocation.
Yes.
That, as we talked about earlier on, God has given us life that we might come to know Jesus as our Savior. But he continues to preserve our life after we come to know Jesus as our Savior, that we might be witnesses of Jesus as our Savior so that other people might be brought into his kingdom. And that's how we live our lives, adoring him every day. So you wouldn't think of this as a mission hymn, but in essence, this last stanza is exactly a mission hymn. As we think about the doctrine of vocation, we think about mission work, we think about evangelism, as you talked about, all of that is tied up and wrapped into this third stanza.
Yeah, and it really brings, you know, again, what I implied in talking about the first two stanzas, though it's not really, you know, in there, that those, you know, earthly blessings lead to the spiritual blessings. That is really what comes out in this third stanza, is this is the reason why God provides it for us. And it couldn't be more clear in what he lays out as how our response is to be in that third stanza.
Absolutely. Very, very beautiful hymn. A lot of times when we get into, you know, the first article blessings, it's easy to miss out on the most important thing of all. And as you pointed to, it points to that, but we really get to it in that last phrase in verse 3, that we know this is what it's all about. This is what motivates us to give our lives back to Christ because of what he has done for us. Let's listen to the three stanzas of this hymn, Sing to the Lord of Harvest. Here we go.
Thank you.
Rob, your final thoughts on this hymn from John Munsell?
Well, again, it's such a perfect Thanksgiving hymn in that it gets to sort of the regular stuff of Thanksgiving. You know, sing to the Lord of harvest. And, you know, we didn't really talk about this, but long before there were Thanksgiving services, there were harvest services. And, you know, you and I, Nathaniel, we like to look at lectionaries and such. And sometimes when you look at lectionaries, you don't find, you know, Thanksgiving readings, you find harvest readings instead. And we actually have a congregation that has a regular harvest festival still in our fellowship, which is a really nice thing, I think. But as we've started to celebrate Thanksgiving, we also we've kind of mixed in that idea of Thanksgiving and harvest together, but they very much go together, of course, because harvest, we're thinking about all the Lord has provided for us, and Thanksgiving, again, we're thanking the Lord for all of those physical blessings that he gives us. So this hymn certainly brings out sort of the meat and potatoes, if you will, or the turkey and potatoes, if you will, of Thanksgiving. And yet, especially, again, as we talked about in that third stanza, though, it talks about why the Lord provides this for us. It's out of his wonderful grace and love and mercy for us. And it's out of that love that caused him to send Christ to die. It's out of nothing that we deserve at all. And so then we can see these physical blessings as leading to those spiritual blessings as being actually the reason for these spiritual blessings. And so when we pause to give thanks, of course, we give thanks for all of those first article blessings. Absolutely, we should. But we do so because of those greater spiritual second article blessings, if you will, you could say. The life of him who gave his life for us all. So just this hymn just sort of captures everything that we should be thinking about for a Thanksgiving. And that's why it's one of my favorite Thanksgiving hymns.
And as you pointed out earlier, as we struggle through this particular year with all of the difficulties that we have faced, it is a reminder that even when some of those first article blessings that we have come to expect, or maybe even from a human perspective to demand of God, if they're not there, God still gives us reason to be thankful in those second article blessings, which are much greater and much more important than the first article blessings. And so in this year of uncertainty, once again, we realize, yes, I can sing to the Lord of harvest because he has given the one who has given his life for me and for all. So much, much reason for us to give God thanks, even in a year like this one, yeah, as we sing his praises. Rob, thanks for taking us through this beautiful Thanksgiving hymn, for pointing us to the blessings of God in his work of creation and preservation, but also in his work of redemption and sanctification as he brings us to faith to believe in those things that we might look forward to the greater harvest of souls on the last day when our Savior returns. May the Lord bless your Thanksgiving celebrations as you listen today and look forward to the season of Advent and the Lord's promise to come again. We invite you to join us every week for another episode of Burden and Blessing Podcast, where we will continue to proclaim Jesus Christ as the one and only Savior for sinners. Until next week, take comfort in the fact that God is your rock and ever-present help in trouble.